It's the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. It's hey, you know, thanks for joining us once again. We like it when you do that. It makes it feel a little bit more intimate. It's we do these shows just for you. You know that. In fact, for some of you, we've got pet names like you and you. You know who you are. Hey, how's it going? Anyway, what we're going to do on this show, we've got our regular cast of idiots. It's Colin Burton from FizzleandPop.com.
Hello, everyone.
Justin Carmichael, the Jew Wario.
Shalom, my peeps.
And my sister Heather from Matted Spam.
Hello.
What we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of the better practical jokes we've played on people or have seen played or have been played on us. You know, it's another thing that I hope that people out there can relate to, because if you don't like a good practical joke, well, fuck you, because there's nothing better than either pulling a good practical joke on somebody or seeing one pulled. Now, obviously, the bad part is how sometimes you have them pulled on you and they're not so cool. But if you can't laugh at yourself after the fact, you're kind of an asshole. That's all I have to say. My sister had a story, and the reason we're doing this podcast is because we got done recording last week's podcast, and she said, oh, but I had a story, and I'm like, I'm sure you did, whatever. And then she told us the story, and it was so awesome, we had to do this whole episode, and so I'm going to let you start.
Yay! Okay, when I worked at that pizza place, we had a game room, and at the time we didn't have...
I want everybody to know that this pizza place is purported to be haunted.
Yes, it is. It is. It is purported to be haunted.
This is the same pizza place that we talked about on the two Halloween podcast episodes, so if you want to go back and take a listen, you should do that. I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head, but haunted pizza place go.
Yes, okay, so one of the things that we had in the hallway as you walked in, it's now in the new game room, if you go there now, but when I was working there, it was just in the front hallway when you walked in, and it was a balloon maker, and it had a clown marionette sitting on a swing, and he was just the creepiest little thing. And sometimes this machine would just go off by itself in the middle of the night. All of a sudden it would start going do, and the clown had things that he said I can't remember anymore.
I will steal your soul.
Pretty much, yeah. We all float down here, stuff like that. And
you ever suck the jelly out of a jelly donut and then fill it with chocolate swirl ice cream?
I don't think he ever said that.
That would have been a great clown if it did.
Oh, yeah, that would have made it better. So there was a few of us there that worked there that were terrified of this clown. I was one of them.
Pussies.
But there was another guy that you went to school with, Mark Sledge.
That's right. Pussy.
And he worked there as well. He was terrified.
You'd think that
clown,
with a name like Mark Sledge, he would have been tough.
Well, so clowns, you know, sometimes just do things to people and they don't like them.
Yes, I hate them.
So, this other guy that
he had a bad experience at the circus at age 5.
He did, and it just translated over into this one. This guy that worked with us was kind of a supervisor, but he was the same age as us, and he was really good friends with Mark, and he decided he was going to pull this joke on him. He had the key to the balloon machine, and he took the puppet out, and he put it in Mark's locker upstairs. And it wasn't, you know, the lockers didn't have locks on them. So if I can learn to speak.
This locker is no locker.
This locker is no locker. Yeah, so you know, you just open them and shut them. So it wasn't like he had any trouble getting the clown in there. So then after he shoves the clown into the locker, he runs and tells Mark, he's like, dude, what happened to the clown? What? He's like, the clown is gone. Oh my God, where the fuck is the clown? So Mark is freaked out, thinking that, you know, somehow this clown has come to life and is wandering around the pizza place.
We really need to get Mark on the phone.
Oh God, that'd be funny.
Hi, Mark.
He'd probably just deny the whole thing. But so then,
would you like a balloon, little boy?
So he goes upstairs after we close to you know, change into his street clothes, and he opens up his locker, and there's the clown! It was just, you know, I wish I'd actually been in there to see his reaction.
What was, so you don't know how he reacted?
I don't know exactly, but of course Dan said that he just screamed like a little girl.
Did he poo in his pants?
I don't think it went that far. But I know that would have scared the crap out of me if somebody put the clown in my locker.
Especially if you had an irrational fear of the little toy clown.
Yes.
That is hilarious. My years ago, one of the things that I did for no apparent reason, just other than to stay busy during summer, is I would build dummies. You know, I'd build from the ground up, stuff clothes with pillows or what have you, and try to make dummies. And we had this mask that we'd had for some time. It was just a Halloween mask. It was just, it's clear plastic. It's made to conform to your face, but it makes you look old. And it had a beard and eye slits. And so I put golf balls in the head of the dummy and painted little black dots so it looked really surprised, and then I put this mask on the dummy. And then I, in the house we used to live in over on Hackberry, there was the main bathroom, and then my parents' bedroom had a bathroom in it. And I knew that my mom's first stop when she would come home from work would be her bedroom to set her stuff down and then maybe the bathroom. Or at least at some point in time, she was going into this bathroom. So I took this dummy, and I set it on the pot. And I put a magazine in its hand, and I faced the face looking at the door like, like it had just been walked in on. And then closed the door slightly and waited. And my mom came home from work. Hi, how are you? Good, good. What? How was your day? Good. Goes back to her bedroom. I'm thinking, 3, 2, 1. And the loudest, most genuine scream of terror I have ever heard emanated from that back room. And I was in I was in trouble. I was in trouble, but it was so worth it.
Worst beating of my life.
Well, and I was in trouble because I couldn't stop laughing. You know, I thought it was the funniest thing ever, and of course she's still in that adrenaline-charged fight-or-flight panic, like, I am going to kill you. Why would you do this to me?
Well, and I remember Ryan was over that day, and Ryan and I followed her back there because we wanted to see her reaction so bad, and she didn't understand why we were following her.
Why do you like me so much today? But yeah, that worked out really, really well.
It was brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah. So, Colin, outside of ingesting hazardous cancer-causing chemicals, do you have any practical joke history?
Actually, not really. I don't play that many practical jokes, so nothing that I can think of offhand. Other than, you know, throw in the bag of expanding gas under people's chairs.
Right.
Stuff that I've already talked about. I can't think of anything new that would count.
Well, we know that Justin is probably cooler than you and does have some practical jokes in his repertoire. So, Justin Carmichael, go.
For me, actually, having practical jokes is mostly just things that I've seen done. I've always been too afraid to actually do them for fear that I'm going to get my ass to me.
You know, pussy. From,
yeah, so that's Mr. Pussy. But one practical joke that does kind of come to mind was when I was working in Tallahassee at the television station, and I was working the weekend shift, which is where they get the anchors who are usually reporters for the rest of the week. So one of the gentlemen had gotten, of course it's in Florida, this report about a cockfighting ring having been broken up and a bunch of the roosters having been captured. We can already see where this is coming into things. Well, Phil, I will not tell his. You can either edit that or mix it or you know, or leave it.
Or not.
Phil was a bit of a practical joker himself. So he got the script and he wrote everything. Well, his anchor, she was out at doing something. I don't even remember what it was, but she was not, you know, at the office at the time. Well, so for the 11 o'clock, he had written all the script. She runs in, quickly throws on her face, and she jumps out. Well, usually you read through the script of what you're going to be saying.
It's certainly a good idea.
It's a brilliant idea. Well, especially when you're with Phil Kahn.
Yeah, rip and read Cold News Kids is not smart. And this is probably a good illustration of why.
Oh, yes. So here she comes. They're doing the show, and then he's having her say the story. So she's, yes, today in southern Florida, a cockfighting ring was broken up. Over 20 cocks were caught and confiscated. So cock this, cock that, cock, all through the whole thing. She's laughing. Now, of course, they're showing film of these roosters and being confiscated and put into trucks, and she's just cock, and the cocks were cock, and she comes back, and she's getting, Phil, how are we going to, you know, well, and now let's go to weather. Weather? And the weather girl, she's, we're going to have weather. I'm going to come back. Fade out to commercial.
So there has to be a tape of this available somewhere.
There is. And the director, he says, this is my retirement. When I leave, I'm selling this to, you know, bloopers and practical jokes. But that's only the first part. 2 weeks later, there's another cockfighting ring broken up. She gets the script, and she starts writing the script. He gets the videotape. Now, even with the cockfighting ring, it was just funny. You know, nobody got into trouble. So we go to air, 11 o'clock at night, and she's like, yes, another cockfighting ring was broken up over 20 roosters. She emphasizes roosters. We're just, male chickens, and it ends. She goes through the story. It's very non-funny. And they end with the hugest rooster you've ever seen with his menacing beak. I mean, it was fearsome. And they end with a shot of that. They fade back to the anchors, and Phil looks at her, and with a deadpan face says, wow, did you see the size of the pecker on that cock? It was a huge pecker. Her face goes down flat on he looks dead in the camera and goes, we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Fade out.
Nice. I love it.
Monday. the director of the entire station comes in and says, Phil, can I have a talk with you?
Shut
he
the door,
wads
please.
Every show. And, well, can I have a talk with you in my office? 5 minutes later, Phil comes out, big grin on his face, kind of giggling to himself. And they said, we're all like, Phil, are you fired? He's like, no. He just said, you know what? It was technically correct. You used the correct terminology. But if you do it again, you're fired.
That's right. You've gotten away with it once. Never do it again.
All you get.
That's right.
Boy, did you see the size of the pecker on that cock? That was a huge pecker. Face down onto the table.
Nice.
That's the best one that I've seen. Yeah. That's the best one that I've seen.
Certainly the only good ones I've perpetrated myself would be outside of the dummy on the toilet would be April Fools, and I think we've already covered them on previous episodes, especially when I got to interview the guy that I pulled the best one on. You're in the country illegally, pal.
That was great.
Poor Cameron.
And there's the joke you played on me at work that almost got me fired.
Not a joke. that was deathly serious, man. Well, since it almost happened to you, why don't you tell the kids about it?
But I think we've already talked about it.
I think we have. It's the early turd gets the worm ad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
Early turd. Colin and the early turd.
You bastard.
Glad you've forgiven me.
Well, I did have the April Fool's joke that backfired on me.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, that actually my wife blogged about a little bit this past it was just a few days ago, actually. I had...
Or a month ago.
My... Yeah. Or a month
or
ago.
Or 2 months ago. Who knows?
I have the... I'm bad with jokes in that I will let you know that the joke is coming sometime in by saying, boy, don't you want a glass of water? Boy, a glass of water would really great. A glass of water. You know, I've read the history about glory, so I'm really bad with
subtlety, not your strong suit.
No. And I'm really bad. And that's why I don't pull practical jokes, because I can't keep my big mouth shut. I've finally gotten pretty good, but I'm forgetful. My memory is really bad. So, the same joke over and over every single frickin' year, but I haven't done it to my wife. Okay, I'm going to do it to my wife this April Fool's. So
Is this the joke of getting busted by the cops in Palmer Park?
I just did this. Got a strip of scotch tape. In the morning, I went into the kitchen. I took the little nozzle handle thingy, and I taped it shut. And I aimed it towards whoever was... Because Jennifer and I, whenever we get a glass of water, we throw the thing up and the water just comes out and we close it. We don't quietly open up the tap. Mm-hmm. So whoever does it will get shot with water. Well, I did that in the morning. In the evening, we still hadn't gotten any water from it. So Jennifer, coughing, she's all sick. Oh, my head hurts, huh? Oh, well, here, why don't you take us some aspirin? Okay, could you get me some water? Okay. She did not know. She did not know. She'd been with me all day.
No,
she did not know. So I go in there, and I turn on the faucet, and pow, right in my side, cold water. Shit! She's like, Justin, what's wrong? Shit! Take off the tape. Bring in the water. I put it in front of her. And she's like, what is wrong with... What happened? What? Why are you all wet?
Should have been you, goddammit.
And I tell her the story, and she looks at me like, served you right, you little shit.
That's right, you fart.
But it was supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I would have beaten you into within an inch of your life. You're lucky you got off so easy.
That's shit. Funny.
Well, I don't know if this would count as a practical joke, but we did it just to make fun of Mom.
Well, there's jokes are jokes, man. Well, if it's fun at somebody else's expense.
It was. Do you remember the story Mom told about the carnival bugs?
I love this one. You go.
Okay. Mom
tell the background. Tell the background.
I'm going to.
My mom grew up in a small farming community outside of town. No, go ahead.
Mom was telling us one time that when she was little, living out in the country in Grand Junction, and you know, you'd sleep with the windows open. She said that they lived kind of just off the interstate. And she said, you know, you'd lay there at night and you'd hear the cars whooshing by. And, you know, and then there were these little bugs that would be outside. And they made these weird little buzzing sounds. And if you closed your eyes and listened, they sounded like people screaming on a roller coaster from far away.
People screaming bloody murder.
Yes, yes. And so Derek pipes up.
The soothing sounds of people's horror.
Yeah, and that's how she fell asleep. That was what she fell asleep to. And so Derek, you know, comes up and...
We're making fun of her about the carnival bugs,
of
certainly.
Of course, they...
We wish we had carnival bugs over on this side of the mountain.
Yeah, maybe they'd help us fall asleep. So we always teased her about the carnival bugs. So what we did was we got the soundtrack to Lost Boys, and it had... What's it called? To the
Shock of Miss Louise is the track.
Miss Louise, and it's just like carnival music.
Carnival music.
Yeah, yeah. What you'd hear when you're riding around on a carousel at a circus or something. And so we took it and we did... an entire one side of a tape with this song, just repeated over and over and over and over and over again.
Technically, it's called looping.
I know. I was going to say that, but I didn't want to be technical, okay? So we do the loop of the song on the tape, and we put it on the little tape player. We put the tape player in the dining room, and we turned it up just enough so you could barely hear it in the living room, just enough to get your attention.
And we made a pact.
Oh, yes.
To ignore it.
We were not going to...
At all costs.
Oh, yes. No laughing. No, oh, I do hear something. Nothing. So we turn it on, and we go in the living room, and we sit down, and it didn't take long.
Yeah.
Pretty soon, Mom's like, what is that? What?
What is what?
Don't you hear that? I don't hear anything. You don't hear that? What do you hear?
Hit mute. What do you hear? Yeah. I don't hear anything.
Yeah. It sounds like music. What? We don't hear anything. What are you hearing? It's like carnival music. And I think that might have been when we...
Is it the carnival bugs?
Yeah. Oh, she was... She laughed.
She wasn't happy.
But yeah, it was like, you're making fun of me.
That's right, we are. That was actually... I find because we were not... I was maybe in junior high... And you were in high school.
I think so,
yeah.
So
that was very expertly pulled off, I have to say. I mean, yes. Just not to pat ourselves on the back, but...
We did really good at ignoring the music and not breaking up and laughing. And,
yep.
Yeah. We didn't give anything away.
Yep.
It's wonderful.
Imagine what hell it must have been living with us growing up.
I think it would have been fun.
That's right. Well, you lived it.
I'm just saying, for somebody else... It would have been fun.
It would have brought joy into their dull life.
Yes.
We should have taken in boarders. Vagrants.
That would have been great.
Just targets. That's all they were.
Exactly. That's what we could practice on them.
Yeah. It's like the Bender family. You used to take in people and then kill them.
We wouldn't have gotten that far.
If it was funny.
That's right. That's right. So, Colin, have you ever had a practical joke played on you?
Probably.
April Fools growing up, you know?
See, I wasn't really expecting this topic, so I hadn't thought about it too much.
That doesn't stop you.
Yeah, think all you want. We can just add it out the dead air.
Knowing Derek, you won't.
It'll be the longest podcast in history.
That's right. The three-quarter hour power hour.
Yeah, better hear it. Think quick, girl.
No, really.
Anybody else in the room?
Well, I've got a little one.
Well, okay, Justin said yes first.
Okay.
Go, Justin, go!
Well, my best friend in high school, John Burnt, was an expert with makeup. He still is. He does the Rocky Horror Picture Show here in Colorado Springs. If you ever have a free every other weekend, please go see him. He plays Frankenfurter. Really great guy. Anyways, he had the brilliant idea to have us scare my grandmother. So he put on a wig, made me up to look like I was a real lowlife, you know, long hair, you know, just he put a scar on me. It was really a little over the top. So we go to look for Justin. And I went up to the front and I rang the doorbell. My grandmother comes over and she gives me a second look and doesn't open the screen door like you usually do. Yes, is Justin here? No, he's not here. He's out. You know when he's going to be back? No. But my husband is here, and he's... All right, maybe it's me.
What?
And she just stares at me. Yeah, maybe it's me. Don't do... She wanted to reach through the screen door and just throttle me. But it was tiny. It was little, but gosh, it was fun.
That's good.
That would be the extent that I've gone. I couldn't even go through it. He wanted me to really talk to her and make it seem like I was going to beat the shit. I can't do that. I'm too much of a boss.
Well, you like yourself too much, too, to pretend about beating your own ass.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, Roscoe P. Coltrane.
Damn Duke boys. Get it. We're going to get him.
So, Heather, you said you had something else, but I want you to tell the story of Dad being a looper.
Oh, my God. I love that story. I forgot all about that. Oh, my God. Okay. Let me get comfortable. Okay.
Because I've been so uncomfortable for the last half hour.
Well, the cushion chair is sliding out of this comfy chair so that it gets uncomfy. When I was in high school, I started reading Dean Koontz books. And Mom decided she wanted to read them too because I was going on about what great books they were. They were creepy and blah, blah, blah.
To set the scene, my mom once read The Shining and then had to turn every light in the house on and sit in the corner so that she could see the entire house because she was mortified.
Right, and then there was another time she was reading, it might have been The Stand or like Emily Rose or something like that, one of those creepy books, and she literally went into the bathroom off her bedroom and read in there with the light on so she could be close to Dad in case something happened. I mean, that's how she is with scary books. But I told her, you know, these are kind of creepy books. Some of them are scary. And one of them, I can't remember which one it was. It might have been Midnight, but I'm not positive. But it had to do with people being de-evolutionized. And these people were turning back into, you know, like monkey creatures and would come after you and get you. And it was, you know, I know it sounds weird when you just say the little tiny premise, but it was creepy.
And the role my father was born to play.
Exactly. What freaked my mom out the most was that these people loped, and that's what she could imagine going on in her head, was these people loping at her and coming to get her, and that was what scared her. So she gets up one morning.
She must have mentioned this to Dad at some point.
Or else I think she might have mentioned it like during dinner, because he was there, and I don't think he was part of the conversation, but he heard her.
But the beautiful thing is, he would have probably just made fun of her and moved on, but with the thought in his head.
Right. And so a couple mornings later, they were both up early, and it was still dark outside, and they're getting ready to go to work, and we're getting ready to go to school, and Mom went out to start her car or put the... I think she was taking the garbage out, but she had her purse with her. I think she was going to start the car, put her purse in, pull the garbage out, whatever. Well, Dad was hiding on the side of the house, and it's still fairly dark, just dark enough that you can just kind of make out shapes, and here he comes, loping after her. And she... throws her purse up in the air and runs down the street.
Karen, all reason is out the window.
Oh, yeah. He goes, where do you think you're going? I don't know.
Away from the general direction of the loper
away
monkey.
Away from the loper. Oh, I'm so glad you remembered that one. I love
but
that one.
But that kind of irrational flight mechanism is actually inherent in us genetically. Because when I was a small child, I was up at the library, and there was a screen set up down in the kids' section of the library, and I was over near it, and it just collapsed. Not because I touched it, but it collapsed, and then everybody's looking at me, and I ran like hell. I ran like hell. And another time we were up there and somebody's car alarm went off. Not because we touched it, but I ran like hell. It's like,
you just make yourself
flight,
guilty.
Go!
Well, Mom did that one other time when she was a teenager. They went to California to visit Uncle Leon and Aunt Betty, and they went to the wax museum. Her and her sister Peggy were walking through, and they had separated themselves from the rest of the people. They came across the Dracula exhibit. Well, what it wasn't a wax figure. It was a real guy dressed up as Dracula. So they're looking at the exhibit, and it's like, you know, there's like a bar in front of them, and the guy's behind the bar laying on the, like, in the coffin or whatever. Well, the guy rises and starts to come after him, and both of the same thing. Scream, purses go flying, and they just took off running. And I think it was either my mom or my Aunt Peggy. I can't remember which one. One of them ran into a wall. They all, like, met in the lobby, and they're just like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And the guy came back and apologized and had their purses. But they did. It was just, you know, the sheer terror. We have to get out of here.
We come from great stock, this family.
Yes, we do.
Well, and actually, I did remember one practical joke that I did do, and it was actually a couple of years ago. The Ring had just come out, the movie The Ring.
Okay.
Jennifer and I had seen it. And my roommate had not, really quick, So I was sitting in the living room when they finally went to see it, and I told him, Corey, it's really scary. Well, our apartment, our townhome was facing, the window was facing I think it was a 7-Eleven
Japanese
or
girl.
A 7-Eleven or something.
So
I see the car lights coming up in the back. So I sneak out the front door, and I had thought, oh, I'm going to do this. I'm really going to scare Corey, because he had given me hell for being scared at the Ring. So I run out the front door, and the blinds are open. So I see him and my other roommate and Corey's girlfriend. They walk in, and they're like, you know, talking. And so I quickly put in a quarter and a dime, dial my phone number, and I look at his expression as the phone rings, he quickly turns around and his eyes get as big as saucers and he just looks at the phone. He picks it up kind of hesitantly and I say, 7 days. And I hang up. He jumps. He drops the phone and jumps back. I waited out there for about 20 minutes just to get him enough of a, oh, hi, Corey, what happened? You know, I just walked through the front door with a grocery bag or something. And like, what's freaking Corey out? You're like, dude, you don't even want to know. So that was good times.
You know, years ago, when the Nightmare on Elm Street movies first came out, 84, 85, I was in junior high. After we had watched one on video, I can't remember which one it was, I disappeared into the kitchen. Dumbass over there and her friend Rhonda were in the living room. And I went into the kitchen and I taped steak knives to my fingers. And because I am a little dork, I had a fedora.
He did.
Because I was Indiana Jones for Halloween one year. So I put on the fedora and I had the knives on my fingers. And I just slowly clattered them around the corner. And then let the hat show. And those two little ninnies screamed bloody murder and nearly pissed themselves. I never expected it to go over that well. But it did.
Well, now you know the story about when we first watched Nightmare on Elm Street.
Right,
we got the crap scared out of us because her brother
Gene
up.
Was wearing a damn striped sweater on a friggin'
his key.
Date.
And so he's trying to get in, and all we're like, oh my God! You know, and so, you know, anything with that, you know, weird with Freddy showing up was going to freak us out.
Well, and before I made you tell the story of the Lopers, you said you had another story to tell.
I did. Do we have time?
We have some time.
Okay. At work, one of my jobs is I have to do what's called pass down. And I type everybody that is working that night gives me a list of everything they have done and what they're doing at the time. And then I type it all up and I send it to all the engineers, all the planning people, the supervisors, everybody gets it, all the important people. Well, this guy that used to work there, his name was Mike, and he would just get bored. So he would write little stories inside his pass down. Like, this was completed hot, had problems with aliens coming down and stealing parts from Ed's butt, and, you know, just weird little things like that. And one night he gave me pass down, and it had one of these little stories about aliens and our supervisor and what they had done to him and blah, blah, blah. So I typed up the regular pass down, and I left Mike off of it. and I sent it. And then I typed up another pass down with the story in it, and I just sent it to Mike. And I sent it to him, and then I went into the room where he was, because that's where my friend Christina was, and I was talking to her, and she knew what I was doing. And we were waiting for him to check his pass down, and pretty soon you see him go, "Oh, shit! Heather! Heather! Heather!" I was like, "What?" And he was so scared that I had just been typing and not reading what I was typing and had sent it to everybody. He was positive that he was going to get fired.
Nice.
It was great.
And that's the way you treat people like that. You teach them not to do it.
Exactly.
By doing it.
Yep.
Well, this has been a fun episode. I'm Derek Knight of SonOfCheese.com. You've been listening to yet another episode of the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. With us, as always, but didn't have much to say, Colin Burton from FizzleAndPop.com.
Take care, everyone.
Jew Wario, Justin Carmichael.
7 days.
And my sister Heather from Mad and Spam.
Bye.
Fuck Montrose. We'll be back again next Wednesday with way more crazy shit for you people.
Hallelujah, Hanawan.